Have you been blessed so far today? Amen. Let's ask the Lord to bless some more. Gracious Heavenly Father, thank you for each of these young people. Thank you for their families, and thank you, Lord, that they want to be at worship and they want to lead out. Now, Father, we ask you to do your part in this service, to open our hearts and to bless us again. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, Grandma and Grandpa have always been Grandma and Grandpa to me. No matter what age they've been at, as long as I've known them, they've been Grandma and Grandpa. Mom and Dad have always been Mom and Dad to me. And when we've seen someone in a certain way for so long, it's hard to see them differently. I mean, I have a hard time trying to picture my parents back in the day as dating teenagers. I can't picture that because they're always Mom and Dad to me. It's hard for my children to picture Jeanette and I as anything other than just Mom and Dad. They don't picture us the way we were years before. Johanna came home from school one day. This was a few years back, and she was learning at school at College View Academy, and they'd been talking about the dangers of smoking and drinking and doing drugs. And she was telling us about how bad it was, and she was just appalled by it. And she came home, and she could not believe. She said, how could anyone do that sort of stuff? And then she concluded and said, they must be bad people. So I thought, well, this is a teaching moment. And so I said, you know, Johanna, your mom used to smoke. And the look on her face was like this. And she said, Mom, what were you thinking? To which Jeanette replied, well, your dad smoked too. So apparently there was plenty of room under the bus for both of us that day. But this gave us the opportunity to explain about the mistakes that we had made in our younger years and to let them know that we pray that our kids and that our church kids don't make those same mistakes that we made. But the kids had their eyes opened a little bit that day to see their parents in a different light, because it's hard to see someone differently after such a long time. We can run into the same trap when it comes to our view of Jesus Christ, because we've heard about Jesus, we've sung about Jesus, read about Jesus, been taught about Jesus, and even heard preaching about Jesus. But is there more to learn? And what will we do if the Jesus that we meet in God's Word does not somehow fit with the image that we've created for Him? See, there are a lot of ways that people view Jesus and think of Him. Are they all correct? And there are some folks, when you talk to them about Jesus, and they just picture Jesus like a good-natured Mr. Rogers. You know, just a friendly neighbor who would never say or do anything to offend somebody. Does that fit with the Jesus in the Bible who said you have to hate father and mother if you really want to follow me? Would Mr. Rogers say that? Others picture Jesus as a tried and true all-American capitalist. Okay, but does that fit with sell what you have and give to the poor? Maybe it does. But Jesus might be a little harder to pin down than we think. So in our next sermon series that we're going to get started on today, we're going to focus on Jesus. And for the purpose, the reason we're doing this is because the purpose of God's Word is so that we can know Jesus enough that we could believe on Him and be saved. So we're going to search through the Bible and see if maybe our image of Jesus needs to shift a little bit. Not that we were completely wrong with what we had thought, but is there more to learn about Jesus? Now, most of us have a pretty good handle on the birth story. When Jesus came into the world, we got a pretty good handle on that, so that's not where we're going to start in this series. And most of us have a very strong picture about Jesus as an adult and doing his ministry there. So we're not going to start with that either. We're going to start this series on something we don't normally focus on. For instance, I've been saying Jesus' name several times. What do you picture when I say to you, Jesus? What picture pops into your mind? Do you immediately think of a 12-year-old boy? Do you think of Jesus as a boy? Probably not. We don't spend a whole lot of time. I mean, we picture him as a baby, and then boom, he's a man. But there is one story in the Bible where we get to see Jesus, not as a teacher, but as a learner. And so we're going to take a look at that this day. If you've got your Bibles with you, I'd encourage you to open them to Luke chapter 2. The Gospel of Luke is where we find this one story about Jesus as a preteen, or an almost teenager. So Luke chapter 2, and in this story, we find his parents, Mary and Joseph, and they're traveling with Jesus, and they decide to go to Jerusalem to celebrate the Passover. Now, this is where people would go many times. They were supposed to go several times a year, but they would go at least once a year to Jerusalem to worship, and many would choose Passover as that time. Here in Luke chapter 2, starting in verse 41, it says that after Passover is ended, Mary and Joseph begin to travel back home. And we pick up the story in verse 43. When they had finished the days, so when the celebration is over, as they returned, the boy Jesus lingered behind in Jerusalem. And Joseph and his mother did not know it. But supposing him to have been in the company, they went a day's journey and sought him among their relatives and acquaintances. So they begin to go through the caravan looking for him, because Jesus wasn't prone to do this. He was always there. He was always helpful. And now they can't find him. And so they look around, and pretty soon they discover that Jesus is missing. Have any of you guys ever turned up missing before? Where you couldn't find your mom and dad, or they couldn't find you? Joseph and Mary have lost Jesus. Parents, can you imagine how they felt? Just utter panic, horrified that they had lost him. Now, it's terrible enough to have a lost child. It's one of the worst feelings in the world you can have. But don't forget who their child was. This was their miracle child given to them by God into their custody. And the forces of evil have already tried to kill Jesus before when he was a baby. And now they don't know where he is. Because of their lack of diligence, what might happen? So they race back to Jerusalem. It took them a day to travel, and then they race back. It takes them a day, and they're searching for Jesus. And they find him. Where do they find him? Do you guys know? Where did they find him? Yeah, they found him at church. Now, kids, if you end up losing your parents, it's better for them to find you at church than anywhere else, right? That's where you want to get found when you've been lost. But after they discover Jesus, they realize that he didn't get lost, and he wasn't forgotten, that he actually stayed behind on purpose. On purpose. Now, I don't know exactly what type of mom Mary was, but I know moms. And I know if my kids on purpose got lost, and when Jeanette found them, oh man, how many of you know about your mom and what she would have done to you when she discovered? Mary is frantic, and then she finds Jesus, and then verse 48, listen to what she says, and she either composed herself or Luke was gentle with how he reported what she said. So in Luke chapter 2, verse 48, so when they saw him, they were amazed, and his mother said to him, "Son, why have you done this to us? Look, your father and I have sought you anxiously." Now, just imagine that you were reading this for the first time. What would you think? Again, I know moms. And back in the day, knowing my mom, I'd have been thinking, oh man, Jesus about to get a spanking because he is in trouble. But that's not what happens. The next verse is fascinating to me in the Bible because this is the first time in recorded history of Jesus speaking in the Gospels. First time. These are Jesus' first words in the gospel story. So what will Jesus say? What will be the first thing he says? And how does he respond to his mother, who is not very happy with him at the time? Luke chapter 2 and verse 49. And Jesus says, "Why did you seek me? Did you not know that I must be about my Father's business?" Let those first words of Jesus recorded in the Bible, let them sink in for a moment. Now, there's a little bit of an argument over the best translation. Some say, "I must be about my Father's business." Others have, "I must be in my Father's house." But regardless, this is the first line spoken by Jesus in the Gospels. Jesus, at age 12, when he speaks, says so much. What is he doing here? He's declaring something. And Jesus declares, number one, who he is. He declares who his Father is. He's not just Mary and Joseph's boy, but at age 12, Jesus realized that he's God's son. And then he declares not just who he is, but he declares what he must do. Jesus, at age 12, is called. He's not going to live like other kids. His destiny is greater than that, greater than all of us. Which brings me to the question, what exactly was Jesus doing for 3 days in the temple? Have you ever thought about that? What's he doing? Do you know Warren? What was he doing? Yeah, that's exactly right. He was there at the temple, hanging out, but not just hanging out. Let's see what it says in the Bible, verse 46. So now, it was that after 3 days, they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the teachers, both listening to them and asking them questions. Warren, you're exactly right. He was talking to the teachers, talking to the priest. He's hanging out at church, asking questions. Now, parents, this is like a dream come true, isn't it? I mean, granted, you don't want your kid to get lost, but to find them in the church, and your preteen actually wants to be at the church. Only he's not wanting to be at the church just to hang out with his friends, but he's there wanting to hang out with the elders. How wild is that? Asking them questions, listening to the answers, and then giving answers of his own. You ever wonder what questions Jesus was asking them? Ever thought about that? There's a bit of a clue in the story. If you go back to verse 41, there's a big clue as to what Jesus is talking to them about. In verse 41, it says, his parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover. So they had just celebrated Passover, and here they are. That's why they're at the temple. So that's what's forefront in Jesus' young mind, Passover, which was one of the high days for the people at that time, just kind of like we really celebrate and get excited about Resurrection Day at Easter time, and then at Christmas time, those are kind of our two of our big moments in the year. This was the big moment for them, Passover. It was the time that they remembered God bringing the people out of Egypt. And they remembered the freedom that was won. And that freedom that was won came through a lamb dying. For the 10th plague that was falling on Egypt was going to be the death of the firstborn, unless someone had taken blood from the lamb and put it over the door of their house. And if they killed that lamb and put the blood over the door, then they were passed over and they were saved. Remember what Jesus told Mary, "I'm about my Father's business. I'm in my Father's house." So what exactly is the Father's business? See, I knew my dad's work growing up. Dad worked at the bank. He was a banker. What was Jesus' father's business? Quite frankly, friends, it was saving humanity. So what's the significance of being in the temple? Why does Jesus stay in the temple? Because this is the place where God taught his people about the coming Messiah. This is the place where God used sacrifices to show people how he was planning to save humanity. Now, guys, I have an easy time picturing Jesus as a teacher. On the Sermon on the Mount, sitting there, talking to the masses. It's a little harder to picture Jesus as a learner. But here is Jesus asking questions, taking on the role of a learner. Only here's what's awesome. Verse 47. And all who heard him were astonished at his understanding and answers. So who's amazed by this conversation? Is it Jesus? Yeah, I mean, he's spending time talking to the great of the greats. This is like the seminary, the GC. He's there talking to all the learned people. And who ends up amazed by the conversation? Not Jesus, but the teachers, the priests. They're the ones who are shocked by talking to Jesus. Jesus questions them, and he answers them. And those questions and answers are about Passover, and they're about the Messiah. And they were revealing deep insights to those in the temple. We've got some teachers here among us today. Teachers, can you imagine what it would be like having Jesus in your classroom? In your adventure club room, Jesus is there, and he's asking you questions. Only you don't know, but you're just like, whoa, who is this boy? They had him for 3 days. Picture that. Talking to Jesus, not as a teacher, but as a learner. What an amazing experience it must have been. But I want you to catch this point that we miss so much about the importance of this story and why I think Luke included it. Early on in Jesus' life, God is using his son to prepare the religious leaders for the coming Messiah. And he has them right there in the temple, asking them questions about his father's business. And he's revealing to them that their view of the coming Messiah as a conquering king was not in line with the prophecies in God's word. And a little boy is revealing that to him. He's revealing to them that the Passover taught that someone is going to come along and someone is going to be God's lamb and die for sins. God was preparing them, but would they listen? Well, friends, they did listen, and they were amazed. And sometimes we can come before Jesus, and we can listen, and we can be amazed, but the real question is, would they change? Would they let go of a preconceived idea, of a past idea about what the Messiah was going to do? Would they let go of that in order to embrace something more? And sadly, many would not. Think about it. For 3 days, they had Jesus there, and it says they were amazed. So do you think at night they were maybe talking to others? Saying, hey, you gotta meet this Jesus kid who's here, and he's asking us questions, and never had a kid like this ask questions before. And I think maybe each day that Jesus was there, the crowd grew that was talking to him. They were amazed by it. Word spread about this 12-year-old. But then, 18 years later, the leaders and the teachers of that same temple would be calling for that boy's death. Tragic for them. They had him there as a boy, and he's trying to reveal to them why he is here and what his father's business is. So friends, what do we learn? What do we learn from this first look at Jesus? Not as a baby, not as a minister, or a prophet, but as a boy, as a child. What do we learn from this, from the boyhood Jesus, who speaks for the first time in the Bible? The first thing we learn, friends, I think, is that God calls all ages. At age 12, he's calling Jesus to try to teach the teachers. He calls all of us, regardless of our age. 12 years old, I must be about my Father's business. How many of us can say that throughout the week? If someone were to ask you, well, what did you do today? I was about my Father's business. That one hit me right in the heart this week as I thought about that. Can we truthfully answer? I'm doing my Father's will. Second thing I think we learn from Jesus at a young age is that we need to know our Father's business. Amen? Because God is not just about us making money, and He's certainly not about us just entertaining the masses. God's business is not even about just living a simple, good life. Because Jesus had that back home. He had a nice, simple life in the carpenter's shop. But our Father's business is saving and helping fallen humans, broken and hurting people. And then finally, the last thing I think we learned from Jesus as a child is that Jesus worked to help others understand His Father's plan to save. That was His Father's business, and that was Jesus' mission. So friends, today, as our service ends, I really hope that you learned something. But I hope that you didn't learn from a grown-up preacher today. I hope that you learned from a 12-year-old boy, from Jesus, who I think, friends, I think is still asking questions in the church. He's still here with us in the church, still asking, have you heard my Father's call? He's still asking, do you know my Father's plan to save you and to save others? And finally, I think Jesus is still asking, will you help others know my Father's business of saving lost souls? He's still asking us today, but what answer will we give? Father in heaven, we thank you so much, Lord, that you sent your Son Jesus to this world. And Lord, you sent Jesus on an errand. You called him to do something important when he was just 12. You sent him to church, and you had him talking to people who knew all about the Bible, but they still had more to learn. And Lord, you taught them about who you are, our Messiah, our Savior, our friend. And Lord, we want to know more about you. So I thank you for these young people, and I pray that you'll help them to realize your calling to them too, because you love them. I thank you for these not so young people, but are still young at heart, and you're calling out to them too, Lord. Help us to know your business, Lord. Help us to live for you in such a way that others might be amazed, that we might be able to tell them of the God of heaven and the Jesus who came here, even as a boy, to learn and to teach. And Lord Jesus, as we leave this place, may we remember to linger in your presence and to help others to know that we have a Father in heaven who loves us, that we have a Savior from heaven who's coming soon to save us, and that we can worship him every day until he comes. Bless us at this time, Lord. May we respond to you in our hearts and say, yes, Lord, I will follow. And all those willing to answer the boy Jesus question said, amen. Amen. God bless each and every one of you. Have a wonderful Sabbath day.